I'd like to thank my uncle God to continue on Shane's theme before us this afternoon in connection with Edgar. We had in the Bible reading, restoration, revival, and rejoicing. So tonight, I would like to pursue the same exercise. I'm bringing before you Hezekiah again. And through four short headings over what I've got to say. First of all, his purpose in life. Secondly, I'd like to have a look at his prayer and praise life. His prayer. And thirdly, the problems he had in his life. This is a word we use much in America. But we're going to use it tonight. Problems he had in life. And lastly, how he prospered in the things of God. So we'll turn first of all to a few verses in the second book of Kings, chapter 18. Here we have the first thought in relation to his purpose in life. I'll just read verse 4. Just to remind us of the things he removed. He removed the high places, great images, cut down the groves, great in pieces, the raisin serpent that Moses had made. For those that of those days, the children of Israel had burned incense, great, and called it Neshashim. Then we have his purpose in life. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. Notice what the Lord of God said about him. So that after him was man like him, amongst all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he craved to the Lord, he departed not from following him, kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses, and the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not. I just want to say a few remarks about this first passage in connection with his purpose in life. It's a good thing to be reminded when we trusted in him. We were reminded this afternoon that this man was only 25 years of age when he set out through the house of God in order. I'm very glad tonight to see so many young people here. Now this will be an encouragement to you. I want you to see how this man moved in touch with God. Well, it's one thing to trust in him, but the next point I want you to draw your attention to was in verse 6. He clave unto the Lord. Well, I like that touch. He clave unto the Lord. Now this is something further than trusting in the Lord. I believe this is having part with him. Having part with him. Cleaving unto the Lord. While I was reading this scripture and this verse, And this sentence, it reminded me of Barnabas. You remember, he was sent by the Lord to Antioch, where the Christians, where the saints was first called Christians at Antioch. And his message to that company was that he desired them with purpose of heart to cleave unto the Lord. That was his message. What a message. We've been singing about our hearts. We were reminded about Hezekiah's heart. How he set his heart to make a covenant with the Lord. One of us, in his name, the power of the Spirit, he exhorted them with purpose of heart to cleave unto the Lord. But I'm thankful that the story doesn't end there. The next verse says, and many were brought to the Lord. I don't say they were saved, mind, it doesn't say that. But I believe their hearts were warmed up and they were brought closer to the Lord. The next one is, it says, he departed not from following him. Just want to say a little word about those 3 words. He departed not. I've came across those 3 words 3 times. And I'm not saying I'm not mentioning more than 3 times. But I enjoyed them when I came across them. I just pass them on to you. First time I came across them, it was about another young man. Joshua. It says, Joshua, he departed not from the tabernacle. He was a young man. It says he was a young man, but he departed not from the tabernacle. All right, that's... If the Lord's placed you in that little assembly where you are, you stay where you are. The Lord just wants you to be there. He'll bless you. He'll encourage you. Because Joshua was a young man. And you know what Joshua? He became a leader of the children of Israel. See, God takes account of young lives and young hearts. I appeal to the young tonight. Get your heart fixed upon God. The next touch in connection with the part not, it's about a sister. Many sisters here tonight. This is an old saint of God. Her name was Anne. You remember, she was a little child of pleasure, happy. Do you remember what she was doing? It says that she departed not from the temple, night and day, with thanksgiving, with prayer and thanksgiving. And she speak of him, in the name of Christ, to all that look for redemption in Israel. We could do with some of this today, I'm sure, speaking of him, because we want to see him very soon. And we like him forever. Well, he departed not Hezekiah from following him, and he kept his commandments, the Lord, which the Lord commanded Moses, and the Lord was with him. This is the secret of power today, isn't it? Communion with the Lord, getting his support, getting his mind on things. The Lord was with him. And he says, and he prospered, and he prospered. So we can well see the real purpose he had in life. You remember this afternoon I made reference to the text in our calendar this morning. This was the text this morning, I will praise thee, O Lord. Amongst the people, I will sing unto thee amongst the nations. But I noticed when I read down that Psalm 57, Here was another verse that attracted me and encouraged me in connection with our exercise to this room. David says, "My heart is fixed, O Lord. My heart is fixed." And mind you, he was passing through a rough time. He was fleeing from Saul to the cave, but his heart was fixed. "My heart is fixed, O Lord. My heart is fixed." And he finishes up with saying, "Be thou exalted, O my God." You see, he was in a real condition like Hezekiah. He had a real purpose of heart. He had purpose in life. Now, before I leave my point, I wonder, young person tonight, have you a real purpose in heart? Well, I'm sure if you have, the Lord will bless you. So we're going to move along in the same line now. We're going back to 2 Chronicles. And we're going to move to the next step, his prayer life. Chapter 30. Want to be the first verse, chapter 30. Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Asa, that they should come to the house of the Lord of Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord, the God of Israel. You'll notice that Paul picks up this line of thought. He says, "Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us." And everyone in the Old Testament who held the Passover, you'll notice God bless him. God bless him. Now you can well understand a verse like verse 8 coming from a man like Hezekiah, who had a real purpose in life. This is what he said to them. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto God and enter into his sanctuary, which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God. I like those three words, you know, yielding, entering, and serving. Remember in Romans 6, yield yourselves unto God. I believe you could put Romans 12 here, presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. We had those words this afternoon before us. Sanctification, set apart, consecration, dedication, hands filled, bringing something to God. Here we have it here. Yield yourselves. This man had power to say, he had power to do this because he lived it. He was in the good in the game of it. Then he says, enter into his sanctuary. We said this afternoon, it's one thing to enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, but all to reach the sanctuary, to reach Christ, to worship him, to adore him. Enter in, and the way is made open for you to enter in and enjoy it in the sanctuary worship. Then he says, serving the Lord. And I thought, well, one of the brothers made a comment about this afternoon, that verse came before me in the Epistle to the Hebrews, I believe it is, that we should serve God with reverence. We should serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. Now those are nice few touches that come out both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But I thought it would be nice just to draw your attention to those three words, yielding, serving, entering and sharing. Now, we'll touch a little on his prayer life. The end of verse 18. Now, after he sent out letters and the communications to them, to Peter Passover, well, verse 10 it says, the master to scorn nothing. Nevertheless, he had plenty of opposition, but here we find him in prayer. The end of verse 18, this is our way of his prayer life, which is very important. Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon everyone. Now, in verse 21, we have an answer to this prayer. The children of Israel were present at Jerusalem. They kept the feast of the unleavened bread 7 days, and with great gladness, and the Levites and the priests, they praised the Lord day by day, day by day. Oh, I will touch a little picture of the Lord to come, when he shall be praised. And everything that has breath shall praise the Lord day by day. Look at you, you say. Singing with loud instruments under the Lord. Then we come down to verse 27. There we see him in prayer and praise life. And the priests and the Levites arose and blessed the people. Their voice was heard and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. In the next chapter, I want to draw your attention to verse 5. And as soon as the commandment came of God, the children of Israel brought an abundance of their first fruits. Notice what they were, for the corn, the wine, and the oil. I want to say something about those three wonderful things. There's a verse in the 104th Psalm which says something like this. "'Tis wine that maketh glad the heart of man, 'tis oil to make his face to shine, 'tis bread that strengthens man's heart." Now, this is what they've got. They've got Christ. This is what we've heard about. We've heard about Christ. The first fruits in abundance. I wonder if we'll have some in our basket tomorrow morning to bring to Christ. I enjoy a little touch in those three things too in connection with divine persons. I thought we could link up the wine with God. Wine gladdens the heart. Man. I thought we would link the oil with the Spirit of God. And you know, you and I would know nothing about the things of God if we hadn't the Spirit of God to open up the truth to us. He guides us and he leads us into all truth. And I thought about the corn, linking it up with the Lord Jesus. Except the corn and wheat fall into the ground and die. It abides the Lord. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Oh, we'll never get away from his death. Wonderful place called Calvary. Death of the Lord Jesus. And he's the old corn of the land now where he is in the glory. Feed upon him. This is what they brought. First fruit. The corn, the wine, and the oil. Verse 20. Now, Brother Norman this afternoon was speaking about being wicked and being a something for this because Hezekiah was wicked. But I would just like to point out to you that he's not only wicked in this verse, I want you to notice, he is in it. And thus, did Hezekiah throughout all Judah. And he wrought that which was good and right and true. Three wonderful things. before the Lord his God. This is the verse. And in every work that he began, in the service of the house, in the law, in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it. He did it with all his heart. Notice that. What was the result? And he prospered. This is a verse I was studying this afternoon. It's good to be in it. You remember the Lord Jesus on his earthly appearance when he was a boy of 12 and he came back to the temple to find him. This is what he said to them. I'm quoting now from Mr. Darby's translation. He said, "Wish ye not that I must be in my Father's business." He was in it, you see. Another quotation from the Gospel by John. It said of John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, he was in Jesus' bosom. He was in it, you see. And would to God tonight that we might be still to be in the good of these things which God has wonderfully provided for us in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the next chapter, chapter 32, I want you to notice first three words. And here we have the problems of life. You know, every one of us has problems in life. But I hope, as you'll see from the scriptures we're going to read, how Hezekiah's prayer life mastered the problems he was faced with. Problems of life. There are problems in his members. Problems in our homes, problems in our lives. There was only one place and one person he could pray to, and that's the Lord. Now here it is, after these things. Now, the enemy is always very busy. When there's a revival going on, when there's much for God, the little foxes spoil the minds, they get it. After this wonderful time of blessing, the scripture says, the Spirit of God says, after these things, and the establishment thereby, the king of Syria came and entered into Judah and encamped against the 10 cities and thought to win them for himself. Now, I want you to visualize, you see, King of Syria, he was going to take the city. But Hezekiah, being a man of God and a man of prayer, he didn't run and call for his heirs. He didn't run and fortify his position. He took it to the Lord in prayer. That's what he did with it, as we'll see. And this is what was the result of it. In verse 6, and he set the captains of war over the people, and he gathered them together to him in the street, and of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them, saying, now notice his words, he was a man who was in touch with God. Now he says, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Syria, nor for any of the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord of God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. our mind having confidence in God. Now, I want you to notice the real problem here in verse 17. Now, the king of Syria, he wrote also letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people out of my hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of my hand. Then they cried with a loud voice in Jewish speech unto the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall to affright them and to trouble them, that they might take the city. And they spake against the God of Jerusalem as against the gods of the people. So on. Now, this is what Hezekiah did. This is a verse I want to highlight at this moment, verse 20. Now, this is the highlight, I would say, of prayer life. I want to read it to you. And for this cause, Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, they prayed, and they cried to heaven. What a grand thing it is to have a prayer life, a private prayer life with God, communion with God. Could I raise a question here? Have you a private prayer life with God? I'm sorry for the brother or the sister who has that private prayer life, that communion with God, day in and day out. Don't go to your work before you meet the Lord in prayer. This was the secret of this man's power. He had a prayer life, he had a praise life, and he had power. I was just saying to Brother Martin Anderson in Pidocchi about Luke's Gospel. And I looked through Luke's Gospel and I noticed that in Luke's Gospel there are more references made to prayer and praise and power. He was a dependent man. How often he spent all night in prayer. What about your prayer life? What about my prayer life? Here we have the Spirit of God focusing on this man's prayer life. As I said, he didn't run to the battlefront. He didn't call up the reserve. He went to a higher court. Of course he did. He went to heaven early. He went to God early. And mind you, there's many problems we'll be solved if we only took it to the Lord in prayer. Sometimes we while out of this and the next thing, if we could only just shut the door and cry and take it to a higher court, the highest court. It's heaven itself that God hears and answers prayer. But you'll notice he called another brother came in, there were two. Isaiah, kind of a man was he? He was a man of vision. In chapter 6, he says, I saw the Lord high lifted up, he knew the Lord. He was a major prophet in the Old Testament. And there those two godly men got down on their knees before God in prayer. I don't suppose we are any about this, far less the king of Assyria. But they took it to God in prayer. There's a brother in another assembly, he's a little younger than me, but I say he's a father amongst us too. And on certain occasions when some trouble comes in, he'll say to our brother, I'd like to have a little time of prayer together with you. And they'll go to our brother's house and they'll pray together about a certain matter. Instead of speaking about your thing, take it to the Lord in prayer. I think this is wonderful to see this man's prayer life and to encourage us to to have true prayer life with God day in and day out. And you'll get power and you'll praise Him more and more. Because if you go to Him, if you pray, you'll praise Him and you'll have power in your life. Well, there was a wonderful answer to this prayer, and it's in the next verse. And the Lord sent an angel, which cut all the mighty men of valor, and the leaders and the captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come to the house of his God, there came forth of his own bowels, that was his sons, they slew him there with a sword. Was that a wonderful answer to prayer? Well, it should encourage us in our prayer lives. Many less could we do? Lord, save Hezekiah, so on. And they brought gifts, their spirit free unto the Lord, and presents and so on. There was something for God after this wonderful triumphal victory which God had accomplished. Now in verse 24, we have another problem that came up in his life. In those days, Hezekiah was sick to death, and he prayed unto the Lord. Well, we remember his prayer was answered, and he got 15 years out of his life. I haven't better go into the detail, son died and so on, went back and so on, but he got 15 years out of his life. Mind you, it was the last 15 years of his life. But the Lord added to his life. Then we have verse 28, the corn, and the wine, and the oil again. And verse 59, moreover, he provided them cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him substance. Very much, he was a man of substance. But he sought to bring him to God, man of substance. And the last of that verse, 30, says, and Hezekiah prospered in all his works. Now I'm going to draw your attention to verse 31. Showing you again of another problem that came up. And how the little foxes that spoil the vines come in and spoil things for God. I'll read it here. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Now, I just want you to keep your finger there and turn with me to two verses in 2 Kings chapter 20. And in doing so, you'll see how subtle the enemy is and how weak the flesh is and how we can fail and falter after all these things. Verse 12, chapter 20 of 2 Kings. We begin in the middle of the verse. Verse 12, the king of Babylon sent letters and a present. I want you to notice this. A present unto Hezekiah. For he had heard that Hezekiah would be sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them, and he showed them all that was in his house, the precious things, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious ornaments, and so on. There was all his kingdom that Hezekiah showed them up. There was nothing in his kingdom that showed them up. Now, Isaiah the prophet was sent along to correct him. Verse 16, Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the day shall come in thine house, which thy father hath laid up in stores this day, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, said the Lord, after showing him all this. Well, here was Hezekiah's reply, verse 19. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, it is not good if peace and truth be in my days. So on. Now, the point I want to draw here is this. You see how easily we could go and make mistakes. It's wonderful that in those chapters we've been considering today, there are about four chapters all about Hezekiah, and the Spirit of God doesn't see anything wrong about him, so to speak. But it brings before us this wrong that happened in the last closing days of his life. You see how Satan can get in? Now, I pray about this and ask the Lord just to give me guidance what to say about it. And this is what I got from reading this. You see, when the ambassadors came from Babylon, they brought the present to him, you see. Sacrificing the present. You don't want anything from the king of Babylon, from the world. They were sacrificing, you see. He took it. And he showed them all that was in his hand. Now, I want to show you some mistakes here. First of all, he never gave it to the Lord in prayer. After having such a fine prayer life, he never took it to the Lord in prayer. In prayer. He didn't speak to the ambassadors about the goodness of God, and the singing, and the music, and the worshiping. Not a mention of it. It was himself. Is there another lesson here for us, dear one? I'm sure there is. The lesson to my heart is this. We should be on our guard right to the very end. Because the enemy dogs our footsteps right to the very end. But we have our resources in God's hand. But nevertheless, God in his love and mercy just mentions one verse and he gives Hezekiah all the credit for all the rest. How kind and good is our God. Well might we say aloud, the God of strength, he has brought us here. Now it's very strange that I should pick up this thought tonight, because in our Bible reading on Wednesday, I'm not doing, I didn't know what part of the chapter we were in, but when we got to the beginning, we learned there was a Garden of Gethsemane. There the Lord was anticipating the moment when he would be made sick. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. But the point I wanted to draw your attention to was this. They fell asleep. They fell asleep. Spirit in the years going, the flesh was weak, flesh is weak. And you know the fellowship. And the word that I wrote over my Bible on this verse about the ambassadors, the one verse, you know what I wrote then? Watch and pray. That's what the Lord said. Watch and pray. Well, I would like to finish on a higher note than this. We We can well see the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ in the man, Hezekiah, his purpose in life, his prayer and praise life, the problems he had in life, he looked to the Lord in prayer. There is much to be done in that for us. And you know, in one of the chapters, we've got so much, we've got to be heaps to the Lord, heaps. And I hope that we'll discover that, bring heaps to the Lord, something to gratify the heart of our God, that we bring Christ in all his greatness and glory and dignity. Now I finish with this note. I suppose this was the secret of his prosperity. I think 3 or 4 times we get and Hezekiah prospered in the things of God. He was a man of prosperity because he put things right in his life. I want you to notice his last closing days. I want to finish up with his death. Verse 32, the same chapter. Chapter 32, verse 32. Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah, and his goodness, behold, they were written in the vision of Isaiah the prophet, so on. Another verse. And Hezekiah, he slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the cheapest of the sepulchres. I want to read this in Mr. Darby's translation. And they buried him in the highest place of the sepulchres. And of the sons of David, and all Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, did him honor at his death. It's not a nice touch to see that he was even honored in his death. God saw to it that he was in a place where the sons of David. Well, we've come to the end of our exercise in connection with Hezekiah. And we desire that each and all of us might be encouraged to move on in the spirit of those things we've had today with a real purpose in life. Guarding our prayer life and communion with God day in and day out, facing the problems of God in prayer, and God will see to it that we will prosper in the things of God and in all hearts. Amen. Praise the Savior. We who know him, who can tell how much we owe him, gladly let us render to him all we have and are. Keep us, Lord, keep us grieving to thyself and still believing till the hour of our receiving. From Joshua 4:7-6.